morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we're going to be talking about some November gardening tips because it's already hard to believe November, we're just a few weeks away from Thanksgiving, and fall planting has got to be in our minds with the cooler temperatures. But before we get to the tips, some really exciting news coming from the Master Gardener Estate Conference. And El Paso, I understand, came out on top on quite a few categories.
Oh, yes. We're very proud of the El Paso Association. They actually did very well at the state conference last month. And they won 3 awards for the association, and they won 2 first place awards. The first one was for individual master gardener. This is our master gardener, Jim Hastings. He is part of a lot of other different groups in town, but most importantly, part of the Master Gardener Association. He is the chair of the Speakers Bureau. He does a lot of dabbling into culinary techniques. So he's our guy that we get him to kind of demonstrate all of our nice garden bounty and makes them into some delicious dishes for us. But overall, he's a really strong master gardener. He has a wealth of knowledge in a lot of different subjects. He's a great go-to speaker for a lot of your events. So if you need a request for master gardeners to go out and speak to your group, Jim's the guy to contact on that. So we're very proud of him winning that award. The other one was a first place award for a written educational material. So really, that was for our calendar. So I know we've had our calendar group come in and talk to you about that. And it's a really great 16-month calendar. And it's all articles that are written by master gardeners about master gardening, gardening tips, recipes. And the really great thing about it is that they have full-color photos on the calendar itself. And those are all taken by master gardeners in this region.
And those are really great. We actually have one hanging, one in our studios. And, you know, you're talking about Jim Hastings. He's contributed a few recipes on that calendar. And it seems like a really terrific effort by all the master gardeners to have that on there. Because like you said, it's gardening tips for each month. You know, we're talking about November gardening tips today. Yeah. But if you were to get a master gardener calendar, you'd already have those tips when you flip over to the month of November.
Yeah, exactly. And they have all of the great individual articles on there as well. And, you know, a lot of people may not work from paper calendars anymore or see them, but just for all of the information that's kind of centrally located into this one document along with the photos, I mean, it's just another great opportunity for master gardeners to be able to share that knowledge with citizens in our community. And then the master gardeners themselves as an association, they placed 2nd place at the state awards, and they're labeled as a medium to large association, depending on the number of certified master gardeners that they have, and is a really great, well-rounded effort that the entire group submitted the awards and got them nominated for this recognition at a statewide level.
And I know the new master gardener students in training are in session right now, right?
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, we finish up our training in the middle of November. By November 13th, they will take their final exam. After that, they'll be ready to be out in the community. So if you see them out there, they have a little badge that says Master Gardener Intern. But they will be learning and volunteering side by side with master gardeners out in the community. So we're really excited to have another great bunch of volunteers come in through this training. And I know that it's a lot of information to get every week for, you know, 12 weeks at a time. But definitely everything's going to start coming together for them, and they're going to be a great addition to our group.
Well, one other thing that you're personally going to be a part of, we talked about it last week with John White, and that's the Sun Country Landscape Conference, which is taking place this coming Wednesday. Early registration has already wrapped up, but there is a walk-in registration. It's a little bit more expensive, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's just because of the logistics that it takes to get involved for the late walk-in registration. But it's a really great opportunity for people to get a lot of information. There's a lot of different continuing education units available for that. It's for TDA, Texas Department of Agriculture, ISA credits, which is for the arborist, and then AIA is for your architects and your planners. There's 3 different tracks at the one-day conference, all at the Tech H2O Center.
And it's a great way for area professionals, or even if you have a pretty deep interest in horticulture, but you're not necessarily professional, you are absolutely still welcome to go and learn about the latest in, you know, in planting and growing. Like you said, there's so many different tracks, and it's an all-day event happening at the Tech H2O Center.
Yes, exactly. So definitely something for everyone.
And that will be taking place again on Wednesday at the Tech 2.0 Center there on Montana. And you can find out more by going to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We have information there. And you can also listen to the show that we did with John White. It's archived there if you wanted to learn a little bit more about the Sun Country Landscape Conference. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we need to do in November. As I was saying at the top of the show, cooler temperatures, fall planting, trees and shrubs, the perfect time to be doing this.
Yes, exactly. We have such a mild and wonderful fall season in El Paso with those temperatures kind of just slowly getting a little bit cooler. But yes, definitely get out there. And if you have a spot where you were thinking about putting in a tree or a shrub, definitely now is the time to be able to do that. Make sure that when you get your tree in, you want to make sure that it's well watered, it's planted in the correct placement, all of those good things to be able to get a good healthy tree for next and get it acclimated for next spring.
And of course, if you have questions, maybe you see a tree in a nursery and you don't really know exactly what it's going to do for you. Of course, if you can't just look it up on the internet right there, of course, I'll be giving the number to the Master Gardeners at the end of the show so that you can always give them a call and ask them about maybe the particulars of that particular tree or shrub that you're looking at.
Exactly. And also that goes for your annuals, whether those are vegetables or cool season annuals, to get those in the ground now. The 1st of November is really great because we are, you know, we're seeing some mild temperatures, but we're getting into that point now. By mid-November, we're going to start getting our first freeze. You know, it's kind of hit or miss around November 15th. And if you really don't get those seeds into the ground, then those plants are not going to sprout and germinate and be established enough so that when those freezes come in. So there's no delaying at this point. Get that in. If you can do it this weekend with your leafy vegetables, you're also kind of cutting it really close with planting some garlic to get that established. But really think about that. If you want some color in your garden or your flower beds, there's a lot of great cool season annuals that you can purchase right now. The Johnny Jump Ups, the violas, the pansies. They do really well in window boxes, and they do add a lot of nice color. You know, around this time, you always see also a lot of mums that are being sold for potted color for this Thanksgiving type of holiday, too. So, you know, make sure that you get a plant that maybe not be in full bloom at this point, but if it has some nice little blooms coming up, those little buds, you'll know that you'll get some prolonged flower and color out of that.
And yeah, make sure those mums also aren't root bound in that little pot, because you know they're sometimes sold in those foil wrapped packages where you can't really see, but chances are if it's a really big plant up top and it's a small pot on the bottom, you're probably not going to have much luck with it, especially if you maybe want to transplant it later on.
Yes, exactly. And then, you know, the bigger the plant is, if that ratio is off, it's also going to use a lot more water. You have to water that more heavily, and if you don't get that in there, becomes top heavy and just kind of tilts over to one side. So yeah, definitely look at that, the size of that container. You can always, you know, put those industrial looking plastic plain looking nursery cans and put it into a nicer container. So use a pot and a pot system where you have an outside decorative pot to kind of match your decor, but kind of still keep that inside functioning pot.
Well, I've noticed with some of the recent monsoons, the rains that we've seen in the region, maybe a lot of people are seeing maybe some of their spring wildflowers starting to come up, because I'm starting to see tons of little baby bluebonnets and little baby penstemons and little baby whatevers that are reseeding all over my yard. And I've noticed, you know, we have, of course, winter coming up and perhaps a few overnight freezes. For the most part, those plants, I know especially the bluebonnets, they're going to just kind of hunker down and be okay. You don't really have to worry about them too much. They're still going to perform in the spring.
Right, exactly. And that's really that about that window, you know, whether you actively plant in your garden or if you see the wildflowers coming up. But yes, if they're established, if they have a few leaves on them, if they, that means that they're going to have a nice little root system going on there. Now, they're going to slow down. Like, they're not going to continue to grow as, you know, they're going to taper down and just kind of like just sit there and not do much. So kind of ignore them.
You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, keep an eye on them, but just kind of ignore them. Let them do their thing, and then come spring, then you can talk about when they start growing. You're going to see more active growth on there. We talk about watering and all of that.
We don't really know what kind of winter rainy season we may or may not see in the region, but still, we want to encourage people to adjust their timers on their irrigation systems.
Yes, I've seen a lot of predictions on weather forecasts of what kind of season we're going to come into, but we just have to kind of live with day by day and weather pattern by weather system coming in. I've started to just, really cut down. I have a small Bermuda area in my backyard, and I've just kind of really cut back on that irrigation. You can start seeing it around town because as soon as the temperatures go below 85 degrees, that Bermuda starts going dormant. So we start seeing that kind of browning, there's not so vigorous growth and some kind of yellowing. There's nothing wrong with the grass, it's just going to dormant season. So there's no sense to tack on the same water as you were putting in July. It just doesn't make sense. It's not going to be used.
But if you have trees growing in your grass, your trees may suffer with your reduction of your grass watering. So you're going to need to sort of do some separate irrigation of your trees, because you definitely don't want to neglect those when the weather gets colder, and especially with evergreens.
Yes, exactly. Evergreens and even your dormant deciduous trees also, you want to make sure you have those deep watering throughout the year. I know that, when sprinkler systems kind of get turned off or kind of in a little lull area, but you still need access to that garden hose. So it's always kind of difficult to say, okay, how do you set up your, because you want to make sure that everything is kind of protected from the freeze.
Yeah.
So you make sure everything's insulated, but then how do you get access
to that?
The hose
back in there, yeah.
So kind of start thinking about that and saying, okay, how can I weatherproof this, but yet still get that easy access when I need to deep water my trees? Because we're going to be talking about that, all winter long.
Yeah.
So we're kind of enjoying the fall season, but kind of think about how you're going to winterize your garden and how you're going to still get access to that fresh water for your trees.
And then when we had that really harsh freeze, a couple of years ago in February, the plants that tended to survive all the damage, they may have been damaged, but they weren't completely destroyed, were the ones that were well watered during that winter time.
Right, exactly, because that stress is compounded, so it was under drought stress, then that freeze just kind of kill them off. So yeah, definitely it's winter watering is very important, but everybody else can cut back a reduction of water or fertilizer, your indoor plants as well is another thing to cut back on that water. You start seeing a lot of those fungus gnats, which are those little black flies that kind of hover around your indoor plants, and those are usually as a result of too much water. So don't let any water kind of sit in that saucer for any prolonged period of time. If you do that, take that away, then those little fungus gnats just disappear. It's a pretty easy fix.
Yeah,
it's just,
easy way to know if you've got too much water if you stick your finger in the plant and it's wet.
Yeah.
Don't water it.
Exactly.
Well, we're out of time for your November tips, but we do have them posted on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And if you have any questions about fall planting, you can always call the Master Gardeners on the hotline at 566-1276. That's 566-1276. I'm Norma Martinez. I want to thank you so much for listening today.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.